Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Good morning, church. How are you today? Good? Yes, God is good. And all the time, I realize I have to ask this to get you all talking. PJEFC has this style, you know, we have to ask God is good all the time and then we will start talking and replying. I just want to say thank you so much for coming this morning to Physical Church. And I want to draw your attention to two things. Number one, the wine press. Yeah, we have been pushing the wine press every Friday. And I want to encourage you to read the wine press that was pushed out last Friday. Our brother David Che, who came and returned to Physical Church two weeks ago, March 13, actually wrote his heartfelt feelings of how he felt when he finally walked into the church after 2 years. And he said, what I missed was not just the ambience and the people, the congregation by and large, but the feel and comfort of God's presence in a community. The meaning of welcome and belonging hit home as I walk into the sanctuary, a feeling that I had not felt for a long, long time. You will have to come to feel it. So this is a call for all the online viewers. If you have not been back to church, I welcome you. I invite you to come back to the physical church. Looking back at me right now, all the happy faces, smile, guys. Clap. Make some noise. Yes, we are in the house of the Lord. While the Lord is present wherever you are, online and offline, physical, we just want to welcome you back. Like the youth, Impact Youth. I just want to say that my son no longer follows me around. Yesterday, he said that he's going for lunch. I said, yeah, let's have lunch. But he's going for lunch with his friends. And I'm not part of that. You want your child to grow up, send them to Impact Youth. And they will stop following you around. Then you use their lunch money to buy their own meal. And you get to save. Yeah, so I just want to encourage all of us. If you're parents, don't leave your child at home. Bring them. Our Sunday school has started. Our Impact Youth has started. Sign them up for Impact Youth Camp. Guarantee you, Impact Youth is a place whereby our young people have opportunities to encounter God, to come back to the physical church. Bring them back. We are moving to the endemic phase. So once again, welcome. And if you have followed thus far our sermon series on the spoken words of Jesus, we have arrived at chapter 16 today. It started with John chapter 20, verse 31, which tells us John's purpose in writing this gospel is so that we will know Jesus Christ. He is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in Him, you and I may have life in His name. And then we go on to John chapter 10, with Jesus saying to us that He is the Good Shepherd, and that He lays down His life for us, His sheep. And He does that, or He did that, by going to the cross. Jesus said that when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. He also left words for them to do. John 13, love one another as I have loved you, for by this we all will be known as His disciples. And as He was going away, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. And last week, Elder Chairman preached on Jesus' final I am sayings, which says, I am the true wine and you are my branches. A call by Jesus to remain in Him so that we will bear fruit, fruit that will last. Now, Jesus also spoke at length in chapter 14 and 15 on a very important topic, important subject that we won't be covering much at this sermon series. And that subject is the Holy Spirit. Now, Pradeep mentioned in passing that the Holy Spirit will remind us Jesus' words when He's no longer with us. Chairman last week also mentioned a little about Him when he says that we just can't have the Word. We must have the Word and the Spirit combined together for us to grow up. So some of us might be wondering, how can we leave the Holy Spirit out? Why isn't Holy Spirit get His own sermon Sunday on the Sunday service? He's such a key topic in this gospel. Now, I apologize for this, but the thing is, Jesus says so many things were in the Gospel of John, and we only have 10 weeks to cover. So instead of looking at what Jesus says about this Spirit of Truth, another name for the Holy Spirit, I invite you to look forward to the month of May and June when we embark on 5 Sundays of study of selected passages in the book of Acts to see what is the key role of the Holy Spirit, of the third person of the Trinity in the building and expansion of the church. book of Acts is such a spirit-filled church, a spirit-filled book that is actually known as also the book of the Holy Spirit or Acts of the Holy Spirit. So just wait for it and we will touch on the Holy Spirit. So when we come to chapter 16 today, although Jesus still talks to us about the Holy Spirit, He is not our focus today. Sorry, Holy Spirit, I love you. But up to this point, Jesus has been telling His disciples again about Him going away. He's going to the cross soon. In hearing this, the disciples were grieved. They were very grieved and sad. And He's here that Jesus comforts them by saying three things. One is for their own good that He's going away. If not, the Spirit would not come. Secondly, their grief will quickly turn into joy because He will come back again. And thirdly, He gives them an invitation that will make their joy complete. I right now call upon Phoebe, who is in my 3-2-1, to read us the scripture passage for today.
Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is from John chapter 16, verses 12 to 28, NIV. Verse 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you. Jesus went on to say, in a little while you will see Me no more, and then after a little while you will see Me. At this, some of His disciples said to one another, what does He mean by saying, in a little while you will see Me no more, and then after a little while you will see Me? And because I am going to the Father, they kept asking, what does He mean by a little while? We don't understand what He is saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask Him about this, so He said to them, are you asking one another what I mean when I said, in a little while you will see Me no more, and then after a little while you will see Me? Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn into joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask Me anything. Very truly, I tell you, My Father will give you whatever you ask in My name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in My name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about My Father. In that day, you will ask in My name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father Himself loves you because you have loved Me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. This is the word of the Lord. May we be blessed as we hear and do His word.
Thank you, Phoebe. So Jesus will die. But then after a little while, His disciples will see Him again because Jesus will rise from the dead. When we hear this today, it's clear to us what Jesus was alluding here to the disciples. But you see, if you are one of the disciples then, a lot of what Jesus say make little sense. Put yourself in their shoes. This is a gang of people that have been following Jesus for 3 years. They have been told and they witnessed with their very own eyes the signs, miracles, things that Jesus did. Words that He has spoken, it brings life. He is supposed to be the promised Messiah that was supposed to save them. But now He's going to die. And apparently, it's for our own good that He goes away. Sounds a little bit like I heard story of people break up with someone in a relationship. Don't you think? It's not you. It's Me. I need to go. It's for your own good that we part. For the disciples, then, it can easily sound as if Jesus is abandoning them in favor of another person, another counselor. So in anticipating the confusion and the grief of the disciples, Jesus said what he said in verses 23 to 24 to assure them that he will still be very much with them, though not physically like how he has been with them for the past 3 years. But he will be with them when they ask in his name. Us and you will receive then, therefore, is an invitation that Jesus gives to us to embark on prayer in Jesus' name, which is not a new invitation at all in this Gospel of John. For prior to this, prior to chapter 16, Jesus has already told them to ask several times, which is found in chapter 14 and 15. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Ask, verse 13 says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. John chapter 15, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And then at the end, verse 16, and whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And lastly, what we have just read, John chapter 16, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Do you see the common repeat in all these three passages of asking? Correct. Ask in my name, and whatever or anything that you ask, it will be given to you. Really or not? Whatever we ask in Jesus' name, whatever we wish, anything also can, and God will grant our wish. Cannot be. Our experience of petition, of request, of prayer somehow does not agree with this ask whatever and we will receive. Was Jesus lying to his disciples? Was he exaggerating his case? Whenever Gary and I get to go out to eat, he will always ask me, what should we eat, dear? What would you like to eat? And oftentimes my reply will be, anything also can, I will eat whatever one. Those of you who know me well enough will also know my anything also can, whatever also can, is not really anything also can one. My anything also can means anything and whatever also can except bao, popiah, salad, curry puff, wonton. Yes, even my youth know that. Anything also can except anything with coriander in it. Anything with celery in it. Anything also can means it will be great if it's pork related. Was I lying to Gary when I say anything also can and I will eat those food? No. Gary won't think that I'm lying to him because he knows my whatever or anything is qualified, set on conditions by the exception of my food preference. And to my husband's credit, after 20 years of knowing me, he doesn't bring me those to eat those food that is part of my exception. And that could only happen because Gary knew his wife. He knows what she likes, what she doesn't like, and what makes me happy and what will make me doubt if he knows me or loves me. Jesus says, you may ask me for whatever or anything in my name and you will receive. How extensive really is this whatever? Are there conditions that qualify the whatever that we ask so that when we ask with these conditions in mind, we will receive as Jesus promised here? Let's pray. Loving Father, I ask that you open our ears, our hearts, and our minds this day to hear your words that exhort us to come to you in prayer, to ask boldly in your Son's name, and to learn how exactly we should ask of you so that our prayer will be answered to the glory of your name. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we are going to look at the topic of prayer in the context of the Gospel of John, and we will look at all three passages that we have just read, asking God passages in the book of John. The first passage is, ask and you will receive when you ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. What does it mean to ask in Jesus' name? We sing a lot of songs today about Jesus' name, right? What does it mean when we say to ask in Jesus' name? Now, many people assume it's praying a prayer that ends with in Jesus' name. And when I was a younger believer, I thought my prayer more powerful. Or maybe Jesus will love me more if I add to it, in Jesus' most precious name. Then I thought that maybe Jesus will, you know, feel more love. We are so used to hearing prayers uttered this way that if I just now at the opening prayer, I didn't say in Jesus' name, you would think the prayer is incomplete. Is it even legal? Does it go through to the Father when we didn't end in Jesus' name? You know, it's like sending snail mail and you forgot to attach the stamp or the correct address onto the mail. It wouldn't reach the recipient. Actually, sadly, I feel today, we no longer think of the phrase in Jesus' name. It's about prayer in Jesus' name. To many of us, when you hear someone say in Jesus' name, it means prayer is ending soon. I can open my eyes. Jesus asks us to pray in His name because only His name makes it possible for us to approach God. So first and foremost, church, in His name, because it's only through what Jesus has done that we have gained access to the Father. There is one mediator between God and human being, and that is the man Jesus Christ. It is only through the merit of Jesus Christ, and therefore the access to the Father is open to us. By Him and Him alone, today we can approach God's throne. Only His name has authority. To ask in His name means to use His authority and not our own. So when Peter in Acts chapter 3 verse 6, for example, he saw a lame man. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to walk. He is speaking on Jesus' authority. He knew by his own name, he has no authority. He's just a mere disciple. And God knows we will need his authority. Because in verse 12 that we have read, he said we will do the works that he has done and even greater things. But if we ask in his name, he shall do it for us. And thirdly, when we ask in Jesus' name, we are reminded that whenever we ask of Him, whenever we ask and pray and give requests, we should pray and ask in a way that is consistent with Jesus' manner of life, Jesus' character, Jesus' reputation. So there is no need to ask Jesus to kill all our enemies, make our enemies suffer, teach them a lesson, because that kind of prayer is not consistent with Jesus' way of life. It will not be according to His will, because Jesus says, love even your enemies. Secondly, Jesus tells us the aim of why He would answer our prayer is so that the Father may be glorified in Him. This is then what qualifies the whatever that Jesus say, the glory of God. It is, after all, Jesus' whole life and aim. By now, if you have read the book of John, you will know Jesus' whole life and aim is to glorify His Father. Whether His sayings, what He does, even His decision to walk in that path of suffering and death eventually, it is so that the Father may be glorified. And He will answer those who ask with the same aim in their mind. So do what we ask glorify God? Do what we ask truly represents Him and reflects His manner of life? And bring glory to our Father. I wonder if any one of us have heard of prayers, right? And pray for something, and if God would answer those prayers, it actually dishonors God. It actually doesn't glorify Him. Prayer like, God, would you send COVID to all my business competitors so they cannot run their business well? And mine will thrive. And when the profit comes in, God, I'll give you more. I'll give you more. I'll give more to the offering. Or prayer like, Father, make the other church always have COVID classes so their church member will not be in their church and it will come to PJASC. Then our church grow, lah. James chapter 4 verse 3 says that when we ask, we do not receive because we ask with wrong motives. We ask because we want to spend all that we ask on our pleasures. When we ask with selfish motives, we aim to only make our life more glorious and nothing about bringing honor to God. When we ask with motives that is not consistent with Jesus' will and way of life, we won't receive whatever we asked. So in Jesus' name, give me a new car. In Jesus' name, make my investment go up in value. In Jesus' name, give my child straight A's in all the exams. I don't doubt that these prayers may have God-honoring purposes. But is glory of God the primary aim when we make these prayers? Or are we and our earthly satisfaction the main concern? Are we echoing in our hearts the attitude of the psalmist who says, not to you, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name alone be the glory. John Calvin reminds us that when we pray in Jesus' name, it's so that there may enter our hearts no desire and no wish at all, which we should be ashamed to make him a witness while we learn to set all our desires before his eyes and even to pour out our whole hearts. Will Christ be ashamed of the prayer that we make? Because he's a witness to the asking. Today, let's carefully examine our prayer life to see if they are truly for Christ's glory. And if they have not been, perhaps the right thing to do is to step back. Step back, step away from making ourselves, our wants, and our desires the primary concerns of our prayer. Ask and you will receive when we ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. Secondly, ask and you will receive when you remain in Jesus and his words remain in you. For this, can I have the clip?
Are there things that I can ask and that God will surely answer? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The subject matter of my asking is this: asking to bear fruit. I can ask for anything that results in me bearing fruit. And I believe Jesus will surely answer my prayers because such prayers bring glory to God.
Thank you. Thank you, Elder TM, for preaching my second point today. One sermon here too. Please go to the YouTube, Google PJEFC, subscribe to our channel, and watch that sermon again. The prayer Jesus promises to answer is the prayer to bear fruit for the Father's glory. But I want to draw us to the attention to verse 7. It all starts with verse 7. The remaining in Jesus and his words remaining in us. You know why? Because it is God's word that he will use to transform our way of thinking, our desire, and our will to align with his. And when this happens, we are all in alignment with God already. So when we pray, we know we are praying according to God's will. That's why it's so important to remain in Jesus. And as Christians, we have no other option, no shortcut to discern what God wants, but to spend more time soaking in the Word of God. It's like making bread, a good bread. It takes so much longer, for example, to make a good sourdough bread that is rich in nutrients that the body can easily absorb. There's only that much that can happen when you only give 20 minutes to make bread. And I want us to look at how Jesus models the way he discerns God's will. One story, when Jesus was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness in Matthew 4, the devil attempts to get Jesus to use his power for personal gain. And the devil even cited biblical passage verses to support what he said to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He responded each of the attempts by the devil to bring him down by citing the scripture. And he wouldn't have been able to do that if Jesus had not spent time soaking in the Word of God, knowing what they mean, understand what it is in his context. And therefore, he's able to win over the devil. Jesus showed us a place where we can discern God's will and ways, the scripture. He showed us that his victory over the tempter is through remaining in God's Word. The psalmist says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet, the light unto my path," because that is what God's words does for us. He directs us where to go in life. When we are deeply involved, connected with God through his words, I believe we won't always agonize in prayer. What's your will, Lord, so I can pray aright? because we will already be in shape to know what to ask for. When we remain in Him and God's word consume our total being, each time when we ask God for something, we will automatically ask, does the word of God say this is right? Is this wise based on biblical principles and biblical counsel? And we won't ask something that is wrong according to His words, as praying it cannot be part of God's will. Ask and you will receive when you remain in Jesus and His words remain in you. For then whatever we ask, it will be according to His will. And John later on in epistle, one of his epistles in verse 5 says, and if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we know whatever we ask, we already have them. Lastly, ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. What joy is Jesus talking about here? Now, I talk so much about the glory of God. Right now, right, isn't that a selfish motive that our joy should be one of the main reasons we pray? Isn't glory of God enough? Isn't glory of God enough? God gets glory. That should be it. So some theologians read this verse and say, yes, God's glory is paramount in every of our asking. But when we see God is glorified, when we see other people can see and can testify that God is glorified, the byproduct then is naturally our joy. Now my take is this. Remember that just before these verses, Jesus was saying to them that they will grieve. Back to my introduction now. They say that the disciples, they will grieve because He was going away. But they will see Him again and they will rejoice, and no one will take away their joy. So we ask, what actually turned the disciples' grief to joy? Correct. Jesus' presence. That He's going to come back again. His nearness. Jesus being there with them. The joy, the grief turned to joy because they see Jesus again. And though one day they won't be able to see Him again, when they ask, it is like Jesus is there, just as near to them. And when they receive what they ask for, they will be full of joy, because that means whatever Jesus has said about praying in His name, praying for God's glory and receiving what they ask, is actually happening. Not only that, if we look through verses 25 to 28, we read that the disciples, and by extension, us today, now have instant, immediate, direct access into the very presence of the living God. So not only do they have access to Jesus in prayer, they also have access to the Father through Jesus. So this passage talks about the Father who loves us. The Father welcomes us instantly and gives us whatever we ask, because verse 27, because the Father Himself loves us. See how great the Father's love for us who trust in Jesus and the promises that He gave to each and every one of us who are in Jesus, that we can ask of Him and we will receive. Ask and you will receive when we ask in Jesus' name and for His glory. Ask and you will receive when we remain in Him and His words remain in us. Ask and you will receive and our joy will be complete. When I was in a primary school, I used to have a best friend from Standard 4 to Standard 6. Her name is Ban Kin. We were inseparable. Like, you know, BFF, everywhere go together, even toilet, canteen, buy the same food, wear the same socks. When we had to leave the secondary school, I go to Jinjiang, and, you know, we were together for a while, but we got separated due to parents' decision. She stayed a bit far from Jinjiang, so she had to leave to another secondary school near her house. Those days, no handphone. Not like now, huh? You can call the person every day and then free some more WhatsApp call. No handphone, and sometimes call each other house phone also. Either she's not there or I'm not there. So it's a bit hard. Both our parents are also very busy people, huh? So they won't like some of the parents today. Huh? Children are very blessed, huh? Everywhere they want to go, we fetch them, right, parents? Yeah. Parents, thank you. Take bus to meet each other because we are so young, ma. Get lost, lah. And then those time, ma, we always think that we are going to, our children will kena kidnapped by people, one. So scared, get lost. So we got disconnected. A few years ago, maybe I very jealous, Pastor Melissa had many childhood friends and she's in touch with her friends. So I started to miss my best friend, Ban Kin. I tried to find her through various means, anything that you can imagine, I've done it. Facebook, Insta, Google search, try all combination of her names. And all of us grew up without English name one. So I tried all the names, Lily, Mary, whatever that I could think of. Try to find her in social network. I asked even some of my childhood friends. I said, are you connected with her? But none of them said yes. So I tried to locate her, but to no avail. And I even told Gary, I said, I really want to meet back Bankin. The longing grew more during pandemic. Start at home, feel defeated because no friend. So I asked God, I said, God, if you plan to give me anything, very drama on me. God, if you plan to give me a gift, this will be it. Would you connect me with her? I would really love to meet up with her again. Because I just enjoy her presence those days. I want to share with her my life, my family, my faith, my joy. I want to know how she's doing. I want to tell her I'm a pastor now. And she was like, what? But she's nowhere to be found. Then last Chinese New Year, I met up with another common friend whom I also met her through divine circumstances. So I expressed my sadness. I said, can you find among our friends where Bankin is? So I asked her, I said, pray with me so that I could also be connected with her. But she also couldn't find her. Then, last week, my common friend called me and said, she found Bankin. In the most weird way, she's in a clinic waiting for her turn to see the doctor. And then the nurse called, Lee Bankin. And then my common friend, inspired by the Lord and my love for her, went up to her. Are you the Lee Bankin from Lasau, Jinjiang? And she said, yes. And they exchanged phone. And that phone was passed to me. And now I chatted with her a few days ago and I'm meeting her next week to see her. I'm reconnected with my long lost friend. What joy it is to ask and receive answers to our prayer. You know, I teared when I know that I'm going to meet her. Because, okay, we are not very sure whether she's the same person, but I'm just so excited. What joy indeed it is to receive what we have asked for in prayer. I now got a childhood friend. Brothers and sisters, have we asked God? And if we do ask God, do we expect God? Jesus did not just say, ask. Jesus says, ask and you will receive. Many times, I pray prayers that while I'm praying and asking God, I actually don't believe that it will be granted. At times, I doubt if it's, any good. Is it too trivial to bring to God? At other times, I half expect, maybe God won't answer. Just a bit too impossible. And then there were times in our life, and I'm sure for many of us here, we pray for someone for their health to be restored, or for them to be protected, for them to recover from COVID, for them to turn to Jesus. And we ask this prayer for 10, 20, 30 years, but we don't see any of our prayers bearing fruit. And I suspect, these could be one of the main reasons why so many of us have stopped asking God. I still remember my first assignment as a pastor intern in 2004 was to pray for this person who was sick. I come in the name of Jesus. I pray for breakthrough. And I was praying for him to get well soon so that he will glorify God. But he died the next day. I thought he was rather well when I see him. So I said, God, what happened? The second sick person I prayed for also died. You know, it came a point in my ministry that I was afraid to pray for someone who is sick unless they want to be sent straight to heaven. If you are sick, please call Reverend Dickie, Pastor James. But as a pastor, I couldn't escape that part of ministry. So when one of the team leaders who planted the new church which I pastored fell sick due to cancer in 2007, I was in deep anguish. It's one of my closest leaders. Each time I visited him, he seemed to look more sick. But he always greet me with a smile, and though he's hurting as I can see, he never let his pain take away the joy of knowing Jesus is with him. So seeing his condition, my then senior pastor and I rallied the whole church to come to church to pray with him for 3 days, morning to night. We will cover this brother in prayer. And seeing the community of God rallying together with him really gave him a lot of joy. I know at the back of his mind what will happen to my wife and 2 young children. But seeing the church coming alongside with him has helped him to think that no matter what happened, he could count on the church. And in the midst of his pain and suffering, this is what my brother say: in my life, Jesus be glorified. And although we hope for physical healing, our utmost desire is to see his life, and if necessary, his death, honor and glorify Jesus. I struggled for a long time to make sense of the loss of a team leader who started a church with me. Yet his life, his desire to glorify God, has helped me to see that the God who loves us enough to sacrifice his only son for us, desired only the best for him, for his family. And through the way he lived through his last days on earth, his neighbors, his church, his friends who knew him were all touched by his life. And I'm thankful for a God that's journeyed with him faithfully through his darkest time. It gave us encouragement that one day if we shall also walk that dark path, we too will have God walking with us. God was revealing his glory in my brother, which was also his desire from the very beginning. He asked in Jesus' name for the glory of God. And his prayer has been answered. Not in the way that I have hoped for, but God was glorified throughout the process. When we ask in Jesus' name, do we ask for his glory? Do we ask for his name's sake and for our joy? Going away from this whole experience, today I can say that even if our afflictions do not disappear, and even if I still don't understand, I still very much sometimes don't understand much of the mystery surrounding this topic of prayer, this topic of asking, prayer in and by itself blesses us, because by lending us his ear, God gives us his strength. Can I repeat that? By lending us his ear, God shares with us his strength. And he will answer our prayer in the way he knows our best, so that he may be glorified in our heart, across the world, and for generations to come. So be bold, church. Be bold, brothers and sisters. Come in Jesus' name. Ask, for God hears us. More than invitation, it is a promise. It is a promise that God will answer our prayer. Ask and you will receive. This season in my life, I've asked for the gift of discernment. I find out that there's a lot of things and responsibilities I do not know how to go about, that I feel inadequate. So Lord, I ask that I will depend on you daily. Lord, I ask that you grant me discernment and wisdom and love to shepherd the flock, to serve your church. What about you? What is it that you need to come boldly and ask him? As the ascend team prepare to lead us into singing this song, Jesus shall take the highest honor. I know this is not your typical prayer song, but I think every prayer should make Jesus at the highest place in our heart. I would like all of us to take a moment in silence. There's no things too trivial for God. There's no things too big for God. I do not know what you ask for, but would you take this time of silence? Come to him. Ask of him. Allow the Spirit of God to search our hearts and thoughts. Have we been asking? And is our asking pleases God? Is honoring Jesus our aim in our asking? Just give you some moments to ask of the Lord. Can I also ask you to stand where you are? Let's ask together. And then in between, I'll give you some time that you could bring your petition and request to God. You know, as a church, as the leaders, we have been asking you, if you need prayer, please come to the front. Maybe some of you are shy. So let's do this together. Allow the Spirit of God to search our hearts when it comes to the place, the time to ask. Ask boldly. Ask in His name. Ask for His glory. Let's read this together. The first slide, please. Yes, shall we read this together? Heavenly Father, I pray to you today in Jesus' name. Focus my heart on the priorities of my Savior, whom you have provided out of your great love. Please do in me and through me whatever will bring most glory to Jesus. As you listen to each petition I make, please help me offer it, claiming Christ's merit more than my own, seeking Christ's purposes more than my own, loving Christ's glory more than my own. These are the petitions I offer to you, Lord. Would you just offer your petition to God? Come, church, offer our petitions to God. Whatever that is in your heart. Could be someone that you try to reach for Jesus this year. Could be healing, restoration, reconciliation. Yes, Lord. Let's continue. By the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, transform my requests into instruments for accomplishing your will, so that Christ is honored everywhere, especially in my heart. Make my greatest desire, my highest joy and deepest fulfillment, Jesus' glory. By your Spirit, conform these prayers to your will, and by these prayers, transform my world according to your will. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.